Never heard of you before.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two, that's right, two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of J Speaks. UM5O will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
And this is the crazy part of the story. So when we connected on the bike trail, he passed me one day. We were having a birthday ride. It was my birthday. We were having a birthday ride. Mm-hmm. And he passed me on the bike trail. And I heard somebody say, they went that away. And I thought that was the dumbest. Like, duh, I know that. That's just crazy. And so didn't know who he was, though. But I can remember him saying that. And that was a couple of years before he reached out to me. And he would pass me on the trail. And, you know, we were passing. Really paid attention to anybody on the trail that much. If I happen to see you and know you out waving at you, hey, how you doing? But I never stop to have a conversation. And so I think he reached out to me once on social media for a friend connection, and I was like, no, I don't know you. So I don't connect with people I don't know. And so I didn't connect at that time. But he reached out to me again in 2020, I think it was. Mm-hmm. For a friend connection. I was like, okay, I accepted a friend because I remember who he was. I knew his brother because my friend was married to his brother. Wow. I said, oh, okay, that's Darryl's brother. So I'll connect with him. And plus I remember him from a funeral that I had attended while he was a police officer. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that funeral, and I look back on it now, I was like, okay, God, that was you. I remember at that funeral, I looked over to my left and I saw this officer standing. I was like, oh, I know him. And I walked over to him and I hugged him. You know how you just walk up to somebody, give them a random hug, casual hug. And I hugged him, and everything about him represented safety. And so I hugged him to the point where, you know how you hug somebody, you just let them go. And you're like, okay, hey. Well, I kept holding. I kept hugging him. And he said, you know I'm going to stand up here and let you hug me as long as you want to. I said, no, I'm going to stand up here and hug you as long as I want to. You ain't said nothing. And we laughed it off, and I went on. So, again, a couple of years passed. Nothing. Hadn't seen him, didn't see him anymore, anything. We reconnected on the bike trails when he reached out to me. And so when he did, he said, I ride bikes, and I was wondering, you know, my group of guys, and I see you ride with your girls, and we can just connect. I said, no, it's not that kind of party. We don't ride with guys. It's a girls' group. So he was kind of persistent. He said, yeah, but I know, but maybe sometime. I said, no, it's not a hookup. It's not what we do. And so he was like, okay. But he didn't give up. He said, well, maybe sometime if we're out there, I see you walking around. I said, fine. I said, I'll tell you what. We ride at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you come out there and get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I can't stop you from riding. It's a free trail. It's a public territory. You can do what you want. He said, okay, well, what days you all ride? And I said, Tuesday, Thursday. So he said, okay, I'll probably see you out there. Okay. Didn't give it any more thought. Tuesday morning, I said, he's not here. We're gone. So we left. We took off riding. And next thing I know, he catching up with us.
How late was he? Because I know Rodney, he's late for everything.
Yes, he's always late. And so I think it was about 15 minutes. But you know, his long legs, he can catch up with us.
Yeah.
He rode pretty fast. So he caught up with us. And when we ended the ride, I remember him telling me that, you know, I was late. And I tried to reach out to you and tell you I was going to be late. I said, I don't have Instagram to message me like that. I don't get my notifications until I open it up. And I said to myself, Lord, I don't want to give him my phone number. Because if I give him my phone number, he thinks he's going to be calling me all the time. And I don't want that. And so my friend, when she saw him, and I had just had the conversation teasing with her, I'm like, for real, I'm gonna go out on a date this year. She said, V, shut up. You've been saying that for years, hush. So when she saw him and met him while he came around, she said, V, she said, what about him? I said, no, ma'am, absolutely not. Nope.
Why did you say that?
I just want nothing there. It's like, mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Not what I asked God for, not on the radar, not, nothing. So just no, not appealing to me at all. And so he kept coming and kept, I gave him my phone number. And I said, okay, if you're going to be late, just call me. Lonzo, next thing I know, I'm getting a text. Good morning. I said, see, Jesus. You see, this is why I didn't want to get his man my phone number. Now he's going to wear a snot on me, sending me the good morning text. And how you doing? I don't want to be bothered, though.
What Steve Urkel say? I'm wearing you down.
Okay. This whole story is such a fairy tale.
Yeah.
He mentioned to me, he said, well, you know, since you, I would like to, you know, just catch up and everything. He said, what are you doing for lunch? I said, I'm working. I work, you know, I have to work. I can't just stop and go to work. I mean, get off of work and go to lunch. He said, oh, I forgot you were working people. At the time, he was retired. I said, yeah. So he kept asking. He asked me again. I was like, mercy. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be unkind. So I said, I'll tell you what. I'll meet you at the restaurant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
No expectations on my part. I like, yeah. Met him at the restaurant. We had a good time. Hold up. Wonderful. I said, I'll see you later. I'm going back to work. He's like, okay. Well, lo and behold, I get this text. I had a good time. Maybe sometime we'll do dinner. Here we go. I said, this is what I didn't want. And our birthdays were coming up, and our birthdays are like 7 days apart. He said, so when's your birthday? Come mine is up. And we started talking about all that. I said, okay, well, maybe we can go out and celebrate our birthdays together since I don't have any plans. And so at this restaurant, our first meeting, it's when we established, when we kept conversations or whatever, and I was telling him about my life and we were catching up more. And I told him about the 25 years. He was like, wait, what? what you mean? You ain't dated, how long? I said, 25 years. He said, but you're a beautiful woman. I'm like, that, and your point being, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. So that was one of the things that came out of the conversation. The other thing that came out of the conversation was the fact that he said that he wasn't going to get married again. Okay. Well, we have an understanding. I don't have to worry about trying. I didn't have to bring out the representative. Therefore, I didn't have any reason to try to impress him, right? Because he wasn't trying to get married. And I wasn't going to date because my idea of dating was when I am dating to get to the altar.
That's right.
So since you're not trying to get married and that means you're not going to the altar, we're good. So I hang out with you and I am safe. We are good. I can collect data and practice on you. So we went from the dinner encounter. We kept riding together 2 or 3 times a week. And it turned into where we were going out eating dinner just about every week, every other week. And one of my friends would say, Veronica, you do realize that man is dating you. And I'm like, no, we're just hanging out. We're just friends. We're not dating. She's like, yes, man is dating you. I'm like, okay, well, that has not been established. So we just want to keep hanging out as friends. So it got to be so much that we were hanging out as friends that I can remember one morning, he would take me out to pay for dinner, all of that. So one morning I said, he's been so kind, Lord, that he's been taking me out. And I said, I could take him to lunch and pay this time. So I got to go to Tanger Outlet and drop off something. So I called him and I said, I have to go to Tanger Outlet today. You want to ride and we can pick up some breakfast? He said, oh, sure. So that morning, the next morning when I got up, that was the day of the Tanger Outlet Mall. Alonzo, I got up. The first thing I saw when my feet hit the floor, I saw me holding his hand. I said, oh, no, girl, stop tripping. That ain't going to happen. No. Kept going out throughout my day. I just kept having this vision of me holding his hand. I said, nope, not going to happen. I don't know what that's about. I kept brushing it off, right? Yeah. Like, no, ma'am, that's not going to happen. We get to the table. We eat breakfast. And the lady brings the check. And I grabbed it. He said, no, I got it. I said, no, yeah, I got it. You've been so good for paying. I got this one. I don't want to ask you out. He said, but you said you didn't pay. I said, it's okay. Go get twist. So
you went down a little, V. You said when he said, I thought you said you didn't date it, didn't date. What did you say?
I said, this is not a date. Don't get it twisted. It's not a date. We're just hanging out. So he got quiet. I didn't realize I heard his feeling. We got quiet. We went on to the mall. Mm-hmm. And again, I kept feeling and having this nudge hold his hand. And I'm like, what? Why? That is just the craziest thing to me. Lord, that making no sense. And so again, I brushed it off. Again, it was strong this time. Hold his hand. I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, okay. You must need, this man must need a miracle. He must need some type of impartation. Something you need me to do to touch this man. And, okay, Father, whatever it is, let the transfer take place. And whatever he needs to get, let him get it. Bless him, Jesus, right? So yeah. I grabbed his hand. And Alonzo, nothing. I'm thinking sparks don't fly. You're going to fall out the spirit, something.
Wow.
Nothing. Wow. So he goes into the store, buys him some clothes, which he said, I don't do. I don't shop. I don't go to the mall. He said, so this is a big deal for me to be out here. Again, it didn't register with me. So we come back out the store. What's the first thing he do?
Hold your hand.
He grabbed my hand. I said, see, Jesus, this is fine. I did not want to hold this man's hand because now he think he can hold my hand all the time. What is that?
Yeah.
So I think it was maybe about that same week or that weekend when we had dinner again and we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, you had kept telling me, you've been telling me that you really didn't want to date, you didn't want to be bothered and this and this and that. And I just decided I was just going to leave you alone and we just go back to being friends, riding bikes. And he said, but then you held my hand. He said, Lord, she don't know what she wants. Let me just keep pursuing. I said, Lord, okay. Yeah, that's why the Lord kept telling me to hold his hand. I still wasn't, it didn't sit well with me because yeah. I'm like, Lord, this can't be him. This absolutely can't be him. I'm not attracted to this man at all.
Wow.
So he's a wonderful person, though. He's a good friend. You know him. He keeps me laughing. He's very protective, extremely protective, and everything about him, again, represented safety.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that was missing in my life when the Lord told me about my heart. Hmm. See, I'm like, Lord, I got me naturally. I can work and I can get myself. I can take care of me naturally. I said, my issue is I don't feel safe when it comes to someone else holding my emotions or dealing with that part of me. And that's what the Lord told me years ago. He said, but you will never be healed until he comes. And I'm like, but why? Can't we just work around that? Just you and I? Can we just get me whole without having to deal with that? He's like, no. He said, because that's the part of you I need to get to. And I can't even get access to that place until you open up. Wow. And so he would remind me, that's the part of you will never be healed until he comes. So that all that plays into this. And so I hope, ladies, you're listening and understanding that your heart is sometimes locked off in an area that you may not know of. And it's going to take you and God to do some excavating and some digging to get to that place and plow. Yeah. Plow up that those heart surfaces. And I even began to pray and ask the Lord to massage the heart places. Give me heart massages, because there were places in my heart that still was stony. And I wouldn't let people in. And when you don't let people in, you also keeping God out. I didn't realize that.
Amen.
And so with Rodney, you know, he one of those, he's very comical, keep you laughing. And it's just, it was like, wait, so I'm still probably missing, you know, out on a lot of cervical, but I don't want to keep long. But so when we get to the part after the Lord had me to hold his hand and different things like that, and I said, okay, Lord, what are you doing? I don't like it. And I remember sitting at the dinner table with him one night, and I told him, I said, listen, if you can touch me without touching me, you really touch me. I'm going to say it one more time. Deep. If you can touch me without touching me, you touch me.
Yeah.
And so he would do stuff every now and again. He would do little things and say little things. And I'm like, Lord, he's touching me. I don't like it. He is saying stuff and touching me. And oh, it's scary. It was scary, because he's like, you were touching a part of my heart. And he was tenderizing my heart, and I didn't like it.
Wow.
And so it was causing that wall to come down, and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when we gotten so into, I think it was maybe a couple of months, 3 months had passed, like that. I was leaving one night, and I was like, I just stopped in my tracks. I was like, wait a minute. How did we get here? Because again, I didn't know we were dating. He flipped the script on me and didn't tell me. I was like, how did we get here? We went from riding bikes to just about every week hanging out, going to dinner or something. And I was like, what happened? How did we get here? He said, do you want to see where this goes? AZ, I wanted to run. I looked at the door. I was 2 feet from the door. I said, if you leave now, nobody gets hurt. And I was serious. I said, if you leave now, Jesus. I said, Jesus, leave now, nobody gets hurt. I don't want to hurt him. He's your son. You love him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to be hurt. So if I leave now, we'll be all right. He said, don't you run. I was like, wait, what? He's like, don't you run. You stand there. I was like, oh, Jesus, it took everything in me, AZ, to stand there. It's like, oh, my God. Wow. I said, what do you mean? Do I want to see where this goes? I don't know. I don't know how to answer the question right now. So what happened was, 2 nights later, I'll never forget it. I was in Red Robin getting dinner, buying myself a burger. And a friend of mine, who is a stone cold prophet, he is from heaven. I mean, my God. Mm-hmm. He's one of those that we pray a lot as well. And she called me and she said, I've been trying to pray for an hour. And I cannot, because the Holy Spirit keeps telling me to call you. And I don't know what's up. So can we pray? I said, yeah. Mind you, I'm going to get the burger. I wasn't even thinking about none of this. And she starts praying. And she starts praying in the spirit and speaking in tongues. And she goes into this warfare. Then she just breaks out laughing. I was like, okay, what's funny? She said, I don't know, but I'm hearing the Lord tell me to tell you, don't you run.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm just not ready to accept that this is him. It's not. Mm-mm. He's not. I'm not physically attracted to him, not mentally. None of that. I don't. What is this? You're going to have to help me here. And so I sat with that for a while. And then I had to go through my own processes of the thought of being in a relationship terrified me. It absolutely terrified me. And I didn't realize I had been hiding all that time.
Wow.
And because I can remember him telling me, I had a vision one day of me coming, stepping out. The Lord's hand pulled me out from behind my son And he said, once I slid out from behind him, the Lord said to me, he said, stop hiding behind your son. He's grown now. And then my son even called me and said, Mom, when was the last time you went out on a date? And I'm not talking about with me. I said, so what are you saying? He said, I'm grown. I'm good. I was like, okay, I hear you, Jesus. And so the thought of taking that trip, even though my mind said I was ready, even though I felt like maybe now was a good time, I was ready, it terrified me. And I can remember sitting in the parking lot of the Harris Teeter's grocery store. I had a pure meltdown.
Really?
With just the thought of being in a relationship. I had a pure meltdown. I said, God, I thought I was ready. I can't. I don't think I'm ready. I can't do this. And I said, so you're going to have to either get him away from me or something going to have to happen here because I don't want to hurt his feelings. He's too nice of a guy. So after the Lord told me not to run and he confirmed it, I was like, Jesus. We decided that we were going to date.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I said, okay. I'm like, Lord, if this is you, it'll work out. If it's not, nothing lost. It's okay. So I think in a few weeks into it, again, his brother's wife at the time, she asked me, because she knows us both, she knows me very well. She said, I know that this is God because you, she said, oh Lord. She said, so he started asking me a series of questions. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, she said, well, Veronica, do you love him? I said, yeah, I love everybody. You know that. She said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you love him? Are you in love with him to be in a relationship? I was like, wait, because you know that's where you're going. I was like, wait, that's supposed to be a different color. You're talking about being in love. So I had to start thinking on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? I need to put some space between us. So I need to figure this out. Because I need to see where this is going. Because I knew a long time ago, and I had been saying it for years, that whoever I date, the courtship is not going to be very long. It don't take you long to figure out whether or not you want to be with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So I ran away from home. I went to visit a friend of mine in Memphis, and I told her, I said, I need to borrow your house. I'm coming to your house. I said, they told me I could work from home. They didn't say who's home. So wow. I'm coming to your house. And I got on a plane. I went out.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two, that's right, two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of Jay Speaks. UM50 will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two, that's right, two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of Jay Speaks. UM50 will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
I went to visit a friend of mine in Memphis, and I told her, I said, I need to borrow your house. I'm coming to your house. I said, they told me I could work from home. They didn't say who's home. So wow. I'm coming to your house. And I got on a plane. I went out to her house. I fasted that week, and I cried every day. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? What is happening? I don't like it. What's going on? You know, and me and God wrestled. Just like the day he showed me my heart, we wrestled. I was like, I don't like this. I'm scared. And you know, I just was open and honest with God. I'm like, I don't know about this. Jesus, this man is people. You know, people are people. And people do people stuff. And he's a people. He has the capability of doing some people stuff. I don't trust him. He said, but I didn't ask you to trust him. I asked you to trust me. He said, I didn't ask you to trust him. I asked you to trust me. Where in the Bible does it say trust? Put your trust in man. Put your trust in me, and I'll lead you and guide you the rest of the way. And anything that happens to you, know that I'm able to heal you if it does. So we wrestled, and again, it got to the point on day three, I started to miss him because we had spent so much time together, and I loved hanging out, being with him, and having a good time. I'm like, starting to miss him now. Starting to shave my flight and come home early. But I said, no, just hold tight. And so when it was time for me to catch that plane back home, he was very insistent on picking me up from the airport. And I was like, no, my son is going to get me. He said, no. Got you. I said, no, you got stuff to do. Your mom's party is going on. Just hang out. I'll see you when I get back. No, please let me come and get you. Lord have mercy. He's extremely persistent. So I did. And I remember I prayed and I said, Lord, change him or change me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And because I allowed the Lord to deal with my heart and to work out all those hard places, when I got off the airplane and I came through those doors and I saw him get out that truck, can I tell you, he looked totally different to me?
I believe that.
He looked totally different to me. I was like, whoa. I didn't see that before. He looked good.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. He looked like The Rock. Denzel, all of them. You look like all of them. I was like, oh, whoa, okay. And my whole outlook concerning him changed. I love being around him after that.
Wow.
And so I can remember one of the things, this is how crazy he is. So one of the things for our wedding was a ring pop. The night he asked me, do you want to see where this goes? I remember telling him, I said, well, it can only go one or two places. It can either go back to riding bikes or he's going to the altar. Those are the only two options you have. He said, well, wait. Let me reach back and get a zip tie because that's all I can do on such short notice. I said, no. Wait. When we were in third grade, you said you went to the gumball machine and got Tudor a ring pop. So got her a gumball ring. At least I can get a ring pop. So you know your cousin. What he did was, about a week or two later, he comes out on the back porch, kneel down on his knee, and put a ring pop on my finger, talking about, will you be my girlfriend? Nut. Just a nut. But it touched a place in me, because you remember I said, you can touch me without touching me, you touch me. So things like that he would do to break down that wall and to show me, like, you know, he okay, he's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the ring that was prophesied to me about 18 years ago. The same mentor that said he was praying for me, he prophesied a ring. He said, I see this ring on your finger. He gave me the cut, the size of the cut, what the band looks like and everything. I have that ring on today.
Wow, amen.
I had to send him a picture. I said, you may not even remember this, but this is the ring you spoke about 18 years ago. So everything about this man, it kept coming up God. The way we met, the dream I had, the prophecies that concerning him, the name that my friend spoke about years ago, talking about who was writing. Oh, I had to call her back. And I said, you may not remember this, but I now know who Rodney is. And what I love about this man is the two men in my life that was very instrumental in my life was my dad and my brother. They were both fixers. They were tinkerers. They could fix anything. They were just fixers. And they represented safety to me. He has he has those very same traits. He's a tinkerer. He's a fixer. Can fix anything. And everything about him represents safety. He's a police officer. He's very protective of me. I've not had anybody like that since my brother died. Since my dad died. I mean, extremely. And I was like, okay, I don't know how to respond to that, but I've gotten used to it now. But this whole little fairy tale, it's like, wait. And so when he started talking about marriage, I'm like, wait, what? Are we really doing this? It was such a whirlwind, but every single thing about it was God. I can go back and trace it. I can go back and say when he said it. I can go back and see how he said it. Even the very house that we live in right now, I had a vision of that in 2013. I was in prayer one morning. He showed me the vision of this house, scared the bejeebies out of me because I'm like, Lord, no, you get ready to make me move. I don't want to do this. I can't afford it. And once I calmed down, he said, did I say you was going to be by yourself? I am in this house right now, and I'm not by myself.
Wow.
So it was just amazing the way God does stuff.
Yeah.
And so at the wedding, I can remember at the wedding, my sister told me, she looked at my mom and she said, he reminds me of daddy. And I was like, wow. Oh my God, you see it too?
Wow.
So my encouragement to anyone that's listening, that's waiting, and is very hesitant, allow God to do the work that he needs to do in your heart. That's where it's all going to start. And we're still a work in progress. That's never going to change. We're always going to be a work in progress.
Yeah.
Allow God to do a work. Ask the Lord to show you those areas that you are sabotaging yourself or that could be potential areas of sabotage when you do decide to finally date. One of the things I also encourage single women to do is to practice, because dating to me is gathering data. And in order for you to gather data, you're going to have to go out and be with somebody. Now, there's this thing or this stigmatism that women they're supposed to sit in the church and wait on their Boaz. Well, boo, there's only one Boaz. He gone. There's only one Joseph. He's gone. There's nothing wrong with if you see a nice guy walking up to him, asking him out for a cup of coffee, and just have a conversation. You're not asking a man to marry him. You're just asking a man to have a conversation. You don't know where it's going to go. That's my challenge you to do. If you haven't been out, make a conscious decision that you're going to ask somebody out. Wow. But if the church is viewed as you don't do that, the man is supposed to. When a man finds the wife, okay, I'm not looking for a husband. I'm just asking you for a cup of coffee. Just some coffee.
I love it.
So I have run into those that have, and I was one of them, was stuck behind that stigmatism that I'm supposed to wait sitting on the pew some man to fall up in the church and ask me out. Honey, you're going to be waiting a long time. I've literally seen women die waiting on their Boaz or whoever. The Lord told me I was going to be married. What happened? You're not being found. You have to position yourself to be found. Go out and do something. You can't find him if you're home in your pajamas eating popcorn, watching a Netflix movie every Friday night, every weekend. You got to get out and do something.
Yeah.
Go mingle. It's okay. But one of the biggest things is women are afraid to approach men because they see when the Bible says when you find a man finds you, okay, well, put yourself in a position where you can be found. It's okay. I'm not telling you to go and fall out of your clothes and get with the man. I'm just saying, just like everything else, you're going to have to meet him somewhere and do something. Just don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Amen.
And I think we just need to change that outlook, we as women. But the most important thing that I would encourage you to do right now is ask the Lord to show you how to be a wife. Show me the areas that I need to improve on so I can be a good wife when he does come. I didn't say you were going to be perfect, because again, there's areas in us that we don't see until he comes. And that was the thing that the Lord had to show me. Now that he's here, there I see now exactly what the Lord is talking about. It was an area of vulnerability that I needed to allow to happen.
Yeah. Wow. Well, first I'm going to say, hi, Laura. I mean, he wore you down, man. He did. So now, as a quasi journalist, I have to ask what the listeners are thinking. And I know ladies want to know, what bike trail were y'all on?
We were on the American Tobacco Trail in Durham.
Because women are going to start buying bikes. They're going to hit the trail. They're going to be looking for this husband and wait. So, but I actually think that was one of the most powerful things I've heard in a while. Like you're saying, make me or prepare me to be a wife. Mm-hmm. And you trusting in God and making you selfless, patient, and kind. I mean, like, it takes a lot of humility to get there. So,
yeah, a lot.
Kudos to you. Yeah. That is just a wonderful story. I've heard bits and pieces of it, but never heard it in its entirety. So I just really appreciate you trusting us and opening up and sharing that story. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, because as you were talking, it just came to me like, you were saying you weren't, how do I put it? You weren't, you didn't see, or you weren't attractive to him initially, and you weren't moved when you held his hand. Do you think a lot of women are like waiting for this lightning bolt to hit them? And sometimes you need to marinate, right? You need to really, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think so. I think the beautiful part of us is that we became friends.
Yes.
First.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I wasn't attracted to him, because that way I know it wasn't my flesh.
Yeah.
And when the Lord changed my heart, because that was the part he was trying to get to, it's like you can only see through the filter and the condition of your heart. And the fact that my heart was still not unveiled enough for me to see, the Lord still had to do some work. He said, I have to take another veil off of you so you can see. And that was that veil of being afraid. That was that veil of being afraid of getting hurt. That it was just so traumatic to me. And so once I was able to see him for who he was, he's beautiful to me. Everything about him is beautiful to me.
Wow.
So I tell people all the time, is he perfect? Nope. But he's perfect for me.
Amen. That's great. Man, I know we're getting close to the hour mark, but I do want to ask this one question, because you mentioned someone being surprised, but I imagine the entire family being surprised. Tell us what the family as a whole said when you were like, I don't know if you, did you tell them I'm dating him, or did you wait till you two got engaged?
My mom met him a few weeks prior to us getting engaged. My sister met him. That was the only two that I was on my side. I met his mom maybe 2 weeks prior to us getting engaged. And we told everybody on Thanksgiving.
Gotcha.
I think we started dating around June, and we decided to get married around November. So the courtship was short.
Yes.
And I can remember when we told his mom and his family, they were like, wait, what? You said you weren't getting married again. And I said, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was their response. So like, I can't believe it. You said you wouldn't get married again. But then when I told my family, went over and told my family, I took a picture. And we have a group chat. I took a picture of the ring pop. When you put the ring pop on my finger. And I took a picture of the engagement ring. I said, the ring pop, I captioned it. This is how it started. And then the engagement ring, and this is how it's going. I said, yes. And so when I sent that picture in the group chat, I was sitting on my mom's house. And we told her first, and she just broke down and started crying. She said, oh, my God, I thank you. She said, oh, Lord, my daughter's finally getting married. She found somebody. I know it's God.
Yeah.
She said, oh, my God. She just started rocking and crying. And I couldn't help but to cry, too. I was like, Mom, stop. You're going to make me cry. And so when I sent the group chat, and when they saw that, oh, my Lord, the phones lit up. They said, oh, my God. My niece still tells that story. She tells it better than I do. She said, y'all not going to believe this. And she tells my whole testimony. She said, if my aunt can do this, I know God can send me a man. God can send me a good man. Because she knew Rodney, too. She said, he is a good man. She said, and y'all kept that secret. Oh, my gosh. Y'all ain't tell nobody. I said, exactly. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. Your right hand know what your left hand doing. You don't have to know say everybody know everything. Because I didn't post it on social media. I did none of that. I'm like, because they'll know. When I decide to tell them, they'll know when our first anniversary, maybe. But some things you just need to keep off social media.
You're right about that. That is such a beautiful story, man. Thank you again for sharing it. Any final words before we wrap up, V?
My final words, since this is Valentine's Day, I know that when that day comes around, it brings about a whole lot of emotions and different things like that. People actually get depressed because they're by themselves. And I'm like, first of all, love yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself enough to allow God to do the work that he needs to do in you. Allow God to do the work that he needs to do so you can be found. And when you get found, you won't sabotage yourself or the relationship. It's going to take some work. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. It's going to take some work because your biggest opponent and your biggest fight is going to be with you. But when he does do the work and you decide and you finally find him, it's going to be one of the most beautiful things. I wish that I could put what we have in a bottle, because if I had known back then what I know now, I think I would have worked with God more readily. I would have speeded up the process by not resisting so hard, because what we have is actually a beautiful thing. And I wish that everyone who desires this has it. It was intended from Adam and Eve. He said, it's not good that man be alone.
Amen.
And I understand that now. I understand why. Because when I say I love me some him, OMG, I never thought it possible. I just did not think it was possible to love somebody this much and to just let all that go and allow him in. And now I have the security that I lacked for so long. Emotional security. Because I trust him, but I trust God more.
Amen.
And it's him that's in the middle of this relationship.
Amen. So you know you're going to have to write a book about all this.
I know. I'm working on it.
Waiting for this. They are. Hey, Coach V, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, because every time we get to do this, man, you give me joy. I love doing this. I love inspiring, encouraging people. And the fact that you're one of my tribe, oh, my God, we can talk
now. Amen. Hey, yes, we can. But we're going to do this again, though.
Okay.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid, the Black Farmers Hub, and Peanut and Zeb's grocery stores. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher. The unknown.